going to be crazy today, folks. It is going to be crazy. At 9:18, the Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you by Refreshment Services, Pepsi, Harvest Ridge Coffee, and Lee McKenzie is here. Now, I thought I knew Lee, but I didn't know she was such a great author. I didn't know she'd kind of changed residence. We're going to find out all kinds of things. So first, I'm just going to ask you the silly question, because you usually say, introduce yourself to my audience. So are you having a dual residence now, or explain your situation?
Because
you're still very happily married.
Oh, yes. 30 years. We actually, Christopher and I celebrated 30 years yesterday.
Really?
So we.
And is one of the reasons you're so happy because you don't live with him all
the time? Well, I don't know. Maybe that is. Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Okay.
But yeah, we have our daughter went. We decided that we would take her to Chicago, our little Ethiopian, and she is now at Lincoln Park High School and really doing an amazing job. She loves it up there. Julian, our son, is up there going to college. And so I moved up there. Crystal has his business here. And so it's kind of a funny thing. Like, we're just trying to figure out the best way to do things. So I single parent from Monday through Thursday because, you know, a 15-year-old can't, like, live on her own in the city. And then Chris comes up Thursday through Sunday, and we parent together and family together and stuff like that.
But. Well, that is fantastic. Chris McKenzie, of course, a lot of people recognize that name. Wes Pointer, and a great guy, is dad Jack, the late great Jack McKenzie, the soccer coach. But I love it what you're doing because you adopted from Ethiopia, and so you feel that the Chicagoland area is providing a better experience for your children, so you're doing what every mother does. She does what's best for her kids.
Yeah.
And with laptops and everything, let's face it, you can do a lot of work wherever you are. It doesn't really matter where you physically are.
Absolutely.
That day.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's just, I think you make whatever sacrifices. As good parents, you do whatever you need to do to provide the very, very best, whatever it is your kid needs at that point. And so that's what we've decided to do. And Chris works up there. He's got a lot of clients in Chicago and actually all around the nation.
I was going to say, you could have moved to San Francisco.
Yeah, we could be anywhere. We could be in Alaska.
Iceland. Why didn't you put in a bid for that? Nothing wrong with Chicago.
No.
But I would have done San Francisco.
Chicago is one of, I've been all around the world. I think between Chris and I, we've been to like 40 or 50 countries. And so we have traveled a lot. And honestly, I know there's a lot of shade being thrown Chicago way, but I still feel like Chicago is one of my favorite cities in the entire world. It's just an amazing place, amazing people. And I think it stole my heart a long time ago.
Okay.
And so... kids are up there loving it, too.
Okay. So Lee McKenzie is here. We've updated all of her personal life.
What else would you like to know,
and
Mary?
That was why we came here today, to give a travelogue. But today, she is an author. And tell us about the title of your book, which will lead me into what your book is about.
Oh, the title of the book is She Seems So Normal. Shatter the Plastic Princess. Embrace Authentic Faith.
Okay. She seems so normal, and I'm sure everyone who is a casual friend of yours, as I am, we belong to a couple of clubs together, we see each other. I had a business relationship with your husband years ago. I mean, I think of you as just this loving, giving, caring person who adopted, you know, this daughter from Ethiopia and, you know, has been a wonderful, outstanding parent. Yet there is a part of you that is hidden, as many people who struggle with some demons. They put up a beautiful facade, the beautiful plastic blonde-haired princess, the perfect trophy wife, the perfect mother, you know, the trophy wife, the perfect perfect everything. Yeah, I think Mackenzie's going, yeah, you're right. But let's talk a little bit about that. She seems so normal. What made you write this book? And in a synopsis of 30 seconds, what is this book about and who is it for?
Back in 2019, I had a friend who said, I think you might need some trauma therapy. You are exhibiting obvious symptoms of sexual abuse. And I said, I've had a little bit of abuse, but it was just the babysitter's husband way back in second grade. And she's like, I think it might go deeper than that. And so I started therapy. I was writing for a magazine. My magazine publisher's wife said, you need to document and write it, write through this. And so I did. And that's where the book comes in. It's a reconciliation of the past, memories I didn't know I had, but I had snapshots and pictures in my head that I could never reconcile. I didn't understand them. And with professional therapy, combining with my faith in Christ, yet where do you sit with all of that? Like, how do you reconcile some pretty heinous, horrific, very young child sex abuse with God's goodness, his greatness in the land of the living? Is God really that good? Is he really that great? And then what the heck is this all about? Why do I have all this stuff coming out sideways when I'm trying to make it look good?
Why did he let that happen to me?
Yeah, why did he let it happen
really
to me?
It can really be a very, we go through, especially people that really have been taught, you know, indoctrinated in a Christian faith about a loving God, a just God, and you will be punished if you do things wrong. But, you know, why would God let that happen to a second grader? You know, what is the whole thing there?
Or
a three-year-old.
Yeah.
So as you started realizing that this was not something, oh, that happened a long time ago, that has no effect on my life today.
Just get over it, right.
Because you're already married, already a mother, you're already a successful businesswoman. And it takes probably someone who's been through it to kind of notice it in you. And I will admit, I don't want to go into my story today. It's not about my story, but I've had three incidents in my life before I was 18 where I had physical assault or sexual assault by strangers. Or
so sorry.
Kind of strangers, you know, people that I felt comfortable enough to let into my world enough.
Right.
I wasn't just somebody driving by in a
acquaintances,
car. Acquaintances, yeah. And you think, well, that happened to me, and I'll get over that. And sometimes you're 35 years old and you realize, wait a minute, that wasn't right for that to happen to me. And I was at an event where we're supposed to all be able to be honest with each other. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, have you ever suffered any sexual abuse? And I said, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all went around the circle and it got back to me again. And I said, excuse me, I want to apologize to my peer group here. I said, I don't know why, but that's something we would never say because you want people to judge you, or you want, or tell me about it, or you don't want to think about it.
No.
I said, I've just gotten so used to saying, oh no, nothing bad ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be the happy person.
Yeah, I'm the happy person.
Everything's great, right?
Everything's great.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting because several of the women, it was all women in the group, and they nodded. They said, well, you know, we've done it too. You know, we all were willing to share our story today, but we've been out, and people said, well, is it? They've been talking about, did you hear what happened to Susie Q? Has anything like that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
And you're like, no.
I have no idea what we're talking
about.
Talk about
that at lunch.
And, you know, I feel like as survivors, we spend our whole lives trying to forget what happened, only to remember it again, only to try to forget. And we try to keep forgetting. And so even when it comes up sometimes, it would come up with me and I'd be like, oh no, I don't, yeah, I'm good. No. And why didn't you say something? And why did you say something? Like there's all this, it feels like sometimes as a survivor, you can never get it right. You're always going to get judged. Somebody's always going to go, well, what did you do to deserve it?
Like, when you're 3 years old and 7 years old,
I don't think I did anything.
I was in eighth grade.
You were a child. And so it's these, and then we start having this doubt in our brains with even, particularly if they're in positions of authority around us, that you're like, what did I do to create this? There must have been something wrong. I always thought there was something wrong with me. I must be marked that because I had multiples. And what is it about me that makes me marked? I must be doing something wrong. There is something innately wrong with me because I think I'm a good girl, but apparently I'm not. And that's a hard thing to try to reconcile for a child. And you do your very best. You know, our brains come up with these incredible coping mechanisms of how we actually end up functioning and being normal. And in a sense, being able to be quote unquote normal,
whatever the hell that is.
I don't even know what that means. But if you can function, and I look at you, Mary, and I'm like, you're incredible. Like, look at what you do. Look at how many people you influence. Look at the lives that you change. Look at the people that you bring me out of my shell. And
I haven't written a book, though. You're going to impact millions of people.
But you've spoken to millions of people. And I sit there and go, I have survivor guilt that I ended up normal. I put it together and was normal. I should be dead by now. I should have been prostituted, killed by my pimp or my John, like all these things, all the typical. I should not have a beautiful marriage to an incredible man named Christopher. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have two beautiful children. I shouldn't have the life that I have. Why? What was it that separated me from the people who didn't make it? And so there's a lot of this there's a lot of this reconciliation still obviously going on for me.
The healing power of God, obviously, is what it is. Let me ask you this, because I never had children. Of course, I didn't get over my problems so long. I didn't get married until I was 53. I mean, it was a long journey.
You're in your golden age now.
Have to worry about kids, but... Yeah. Did you find yourself not wanting to leave your children with a babysitter? Did you find yourself not wanting to have anything? Like, I remember you had your kids visit here at the radio station. And,
and Bella stole stuff from you.
It was so much fun. Yeah, never give a child something that
you want to keep.
But it was so funny because, I didn't know any of that about you back then. And I'm thinking to myself, is she always a little bit wary about, like, well, I don't know, I don't know if I want her to, I wouldn't leave her alone in the room with the, I wouldn't leave my kid alone here. I'd be careful who I had babysit my kid. Was it extremely difficult for you to ever trust anybody? Because I think sometimes when we see these hovering mothers, we forget that these hovering mothers may have some scars of their own that they're just not willing to risk. Normal, there's that word again, normal interaction of their children out in the world, because they had a normal interaction and it turned out exceptionally bad.
That's exactly it. You know, it's really interesting that you say that, because I have recognized, and Julian and I have talked, and Bella and I have all talked, there's been a lot of talking, and I have had to own my part and really talk about, like, how I fear parented both my kids and how I have been controlling in a sense. I would have panic attacks if Julian would spend the night somewhere. And I think I fear parented, and I fear parented because I kept thinking I need to save them from all possible bad things in this world. How can I mitigate? Because of course, when you are a survivor, a trauma survivor, no matter whether it's military, whether it is sexual assault, violence, etc., you are constantly, I am hypervigilant, I am hypersensitive, and I am always looking at ways to mitigate danger and to minimize danger and to protect and to guard. And that's, yeah, so, yes, yeah. My kids need some therapy.
Well, the thing that's weird about that is, I remember, my first incident happened to me in eighth grade. Okay, it was an adult.
So sorry.
My second incident was when I was a sophomore. It was peer on peer. It was we were at a conference for English, people that wanted to be writers. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting there thinking, my dad would never let me go anywhere, do anything. He was so protective. But this was a school event, so, I have no idea what that says, but anyway. It was a school event, so they let me go. And, I was chaperoned by a nun. All my friends were there, and it still happened to me. And then in college, they let me go away to college, thank God. The Sunday before classes started, I was attacked and beaten by a crazy man, in my dorm room. So I look back on this, and I think, one out of every four, or at least one out of every five. It's hard to get an accurate statistic, because a lot of women will never, ever say that happened to them, because there's still a stigma that, like, if I was attacked when I was 15, it's somehow my fault.
Yes.
It's not my fault.
No,
but
it's so true.
People are weird about things like that. So anyway, you don't want to tell. You don't want to talk about it. So let's get to this book. So this book was part of your pathway to getting whole. Now, it's interesting. You mentioned it's like 2019 was when you kind of had this literally come to Jesus moment that praying it away wasn't going to happen. You need a little outside intervention besides the Holy Spirit. God did put people on this planet that are trained to help us through these things.
Absolutely.
And your children were at an age where you were probably freaking out, because they're getting to the dating age. They're getting into the you can't keep them home all the time age.
Right.
So we don't have the whole, 5 hours that we need to really unpack this. But Lee McKenzie, she seems so normal. She looks so normal. tell us about your journey, because somebody said, I think you really need some help. And then you went and got some help. How did this turn into the book that is rising very much on Amazon? And we'll tell you how to get it. It's amazing.
Yeah, first off, I feel like my whole purpose for writing this book was me watching the Olympians give their testimony before Congress and going, holy cow, I could never do that. I could never do that. And worrying about having a PTSD event of my own as I'm watching them. And I'm like, they are so courageous. And I know that if we are going to be ashamed of our stories, and if we're going to continue to make other people ashamed of their stories, we're going to not talk about it. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to keep it in silence. We're going to judge the heck out of them. And we are going to make them, make everybody feel like we can't talk about this. But if you want to get rid of shame, you start talking about it and you start proclaiming it. I'm just trying to be the person that I needed back when I needed me now. When I was a child, when I was, a teenager, when I was at West Point, because there was an incident at school when I went there that nobody knew about, but I was terrified to speak. And so I just want to be the person that little me, middle me, teen me, and younger me needed now to advocate and say, we're going to kill this stigma because we are long past due. We need to talk about this, and we need to stop blaming, shaming, and telling people, victims, whether they're male, whether they're female, whether it was authority, whether it was peer, whatever it is, if you are abused in any way, domestic abuse, we need to stop this. We need to stop making the assumption that you must have done something, or that why didn't you? Do you think we didn't try to troubleshoot that in the middle of the event? Do you think we didn't try our best to get it finished as fast as possible just to get out alive? And so for me, that's part of the reason for writing this. I didn't see anything out there when I was going through it. I didn't see reconciliation biblically when I was going through it. I also felt like a lot of the books were way too detailed and massively triggering, so that when I would read through stuff, I would be like, I can't read this.
It's not really about what happened to you.
No.
Because everybody's story
stuff.
Is going to be different. And frankly, you know, what's really funny, and I've found myself saying this, well, I was never raped. Well, it was just inappropriate touching by an adult when I was in eighth grade.
No.
You know,
no.
Mary, quit diminishing what happened to you.
It wasn't as
traumatic as
it doesn't matter.
But I'm not comparing. You know, I didn't get together all my eighth grade friends and go, now, which one of us has had the most traumatic experience with this? You know,
trauma is trauma. Is trauma. And I go back to this again and again. There is no comparative suffering in this one.
Right.
Because your trauma is trauma, is trauma, is trauma. Betrayal is betrayal. Somebody abusing power is somebody abusing power. Innocence lost, whether it is at 3, at 5, in 8th grade, 18, 25, 35, 45... That is innocence lost, and it is wrong. Toxic environments where people are feeling like they don't have a voice when you've been silenced is wrong. These toxic environments in which we find ourselves continue because predatory groomers normalize psychotic behavior. They say, it's okay, it's all right. Oh, you must have misunderstood. And so I know you asked me a different question, but I just feel like that this is something that I have to get off my chest here for listeners out there, for your listeners in this area, because I love this area. And I know that this happens over and over and over again, not just here, but everywhere. And it's wrong. And so I want to kill the stigma of you should have known better. Well, what did you do? Bull. No, we're done with that. Let's talk about this. Let's educate ourselves and let's get into a better understanding of how we take down these systems. Because truly, these are systems of normalized abuse. And that is wrong. And so how do we help watch for that? How do we help look for that? As I was going through this whole thing and I was writing through, like, I actually really got pretty pissed off at God. In many, many different spaces.
Sure.
And I thought, oh, Lord, Jesus, is the lightning going to hit me? You know, am I going to be struck dead for this? Is this like heresy, what I'm asking? Like, why did you let this happen to me? And he could handle it. God, my God, I don't know what, you know, paltry God I was thinking I worshipped before now.
Like you yelling at him was going to really...
Oh,
it hurts.
That
hurt my feelings so badly. I'm not going to be your God anymore.
Yeah,
you yelled at me.
I'm so sorry. That was horrible. And so I sat there and I'm like, whoa, he really actually can handle this. And I searched the scriptures and I see, like, there's a lot of railing in the scriptures all throughout the Old Testament, all everywhere in scripture about people being like, agonizing toward God, like, rah. And yet God goes, okay, I can handle this. My God is big enough. And not only that, he sent so many people into my path over the years I didn't see. I think I missed them. I sabotaged myself and I couldn't receive them because I didn't think I was worthy or I didn't think I was whatever. And God just, all along, I feel the verse that I go back to again and again is, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And he has walked me through, Mary. He has walked me through so many valleys of the shadow of death. He actually even took me on a run one time here in Quincy, where I ended up on Main Street between the Veterans Administration Cemetery and the other cemetery up on the hill. And I realized at that moment when I turned around that he had run with me through this whole thing, and he never has left me, and he has never forsaken me. My God is that big. And when I was walking through the valley, he sat with me sometimes. Sometimes he just had his hand on my back. Sometimes he helped carry me.
I was going to say, my favorite is footprints.
Footprints.
You know, why,
yes.
Why, when I needed you most, were there only one set of footprints? And God said, those were my footprints. I was carrying you.
I was carrying your butt across that.
I was carrying you.
But what I've also found throughout this entire process is that, you know, we have mountaintop experiences, but God doesn't create huge harvests on the mountaintops. He creates them where? He creates them in the valley, right?
Yeah.
And so as I sowed seeds and dropped them throughout my valleys, and my tears watered them, and God's time, he grew the harvest. And it's only now I'm looking back, what am I, 51 now? Now I'm looking back and going, oh, I got you. Here's the harvest. It won't be on the mountaintops. It's in the valleys where the seeds were sown. It's in the valleys and on the beautiful hilltops where he has his orchards, where he has the fruit trees and the bees and all the animals. You don't take herds up into the mountaintops on top of Everest. You have them in the valleys. And this is where the flourishing happens. This is where the water and the streams come through and the living water runs through us. And so for me, in this whole process, in this journey, you know, forgiveness is the key to the kingdom for me. That's what set me free. And that's
forgiveness of others.
And myself.
And yourself. Because, again, you get so, people want to put it on you. Mm. And so the first thing you have to do is reject that and turn your head around, which is a whole 180-degree turn.
That's a whole lot of professional help.
And then you also have to forgive the people who were hurt enough to do that to you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the book. I want people to get this book. We've only got about 3 minutes left. So folks, look it. You've got to, you know, we can't do here in 20 minutes a whole therapy session. She seems so normal. And that's, I think, if anybody meets Lee McKenzie and just casually at a cocktail party or whatever, we'd be like, or at church, we'd be like, well, she seems so normal. And I do want to say this, because I didn't realize we had these parallels until we talked about a month ago.
I love you.
You know, you're going through this or finish this work now that you're 51, but you've already had your kids, you already had your husband. I had to finish the work before I could even get any of that.
Mm.
You know, it's so funny. And
congratulations
for
finishing the work.
I really hope Greg is, in a way, not listening, because I haven't shared, I don't share a lot of this stuff. You know, I'm done with all that.
Yes.
I move forward. Yeah. I found the perfect man for me. He's not the perfect man, but he's the perfect man for me. And, you know, it took me all that time. And that's okay. That's okay.
It is.
My harvest was exceptionally slow, but that's okay.
I look at it and see your harvest has been unbelievably good, because look what you've done.
Yeah.
Look what you've done. So.
But, you know, all the time that I was working, all the time that I was going to therapy, all the time I was working, it was steady. It was continual. I'd get frustrated. I'd fall back. I'd try to move forward. Something would block me.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So, people, if you are out there, let's get this book. So give us the thing, because we want to put a little ka-ching in your pocket, too.
Oh, you're so sweet, because it was a self-published and it was really expensive. You can find She Seems So Normal on Amazon. You can find it on Goodreads, BookBub. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Goodreads. Yeah, that's where you can
find books are sold, people.
Amazon
is a great way to get it.
Yes,
and
please.
She Seems So Normal, and her name is Lee, L-E-I-G-H, Lee McKenzie, M-A-C, KENZIE.
Now it's one. Right now, it's been for the past 3 or 4 weeks one of the top new releases on Amazon for abuse self-help, Christian self-help, etc. So it should be for therapists. I think it should be for schools. I think it should be for survivors. I think it should be for the church. I think this is not just a book that's a memoir that's a sad, sad wah wah at the end. There's actually tons of solutions, tons of coping mechanisms, and tons of help for the people who support and love survivors and who are survivors themselves.
And you'll have some book signings, and you'll let me know about those, and we'll publish
those.
Yeah, that'll be.
We have one tonight at from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Crossing 929 Monroe. So you can come and...
Okay, so tonight from 6 to 8?
Yes, ma'am.
At 929 Monroe at the Crossing. Lee, thank you so much for sharing, coming out and sharing, because again... And now if you're out there listening saying, I don't care, Griffith, I don't care, Mackenzie, I'm not sharing. We don't expect
you
to. That's not part of it.
Someone safe. Share with someone safe.
But the point is, don't let the secret follow you for 30, 40, 50 years so that you never go get help. There's plenty of places to get help confidentially. And once you start on that healing journey, it will change your life and better your life. And if you are stuck, it doesn't matter how many years you've been stuck there. You can get unstuck.
Yeah.
Everybody can do it.
There's hope because there's help, and you are not alone. There's strength in numbers.
Thank you so very much. We'll take a break. We'll head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. When we come back, we'll talk about CEO, Entrepreneur Creatorship. We are back, Talk Radio 930, WTAD, and one of the things that we love to do is talk about business and entrepreneurship and everything that's happening to young folks in our community. And we're here talking about CEO. Roger Lienertz and Trenton Murfin are here. Roger, first of all, let's talk about CEO, what it is, what it stands for. I know there's one in Hannibal as well as the one here in Adams County, I think, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's growing all over the nation. It's very exciting. So CEO stands for Creating Entrepreneurial Opportunities. And this is our third year in Adams County for the program. And we've got 16 students this year, so it's a lot of fun having a larger group. And we have a board that controls that. And so on the board, actually, our president is Trenton Murfin. And he can maybe share some of the things that the board's doing.
Absolutely, Roger. Thank you again, Mary, for having us on this morning. We're really excited to embark on our third year of Adams County CEO. And what is CEO? It's basically a year-long program that's an educational program geared for area high school seniors. This is an incredible opportunity that we extend to every single school in Adams County, and including homeschool students like Lily is, that we'll hear from her in a moment. But essentially, what this is all about is providing real-world life experiences in the business world to students, teaching them about entrepreneurship. They get to go and, essentially create their own business, work together on a class business, and get to tour and hear from local business owners. It's a really unique opportunity.
It's one thing to sit in a classroom and read a book or, you know, hear a talk about, well, this is how the economy works, and then to really hear it from somebody who's actually doing it. And so Lily Owenga, I hope I got that right. Get that microphone right up to your mouth there. Tell us a little bit about your Santa's Elves business.
So we actually...
Talk right into the microphone.
Sorry.
Like put it like straight like I've got mine.
Straight?
There you go. There
okay,
you
that
go.
Better?
Yeah, it's much
okay,
better.
Okay, perfect. So there's 16 people in our class, and we had a brainstorming session. Maggie Strong Consulting actually came in. She helped us with that. There were a ton of ideas out there. And we landed on the rapping business. And
like Kanye West rapping? No,
gift wrapping, yes.
Yeah, okay, good. A better, yes. Better choice, good.
Yes, and it's something I think we're all really excited about. We love serving our community and just making the holidays a little bit easier for everyone.
Now, this is a seasonal business. Obviously, Christmas, your busy time. However, I guess if this became a business that you had when you grew into adulthood, Valentine's Day is a wrapping day. weddings are wrapping days, anniversaries are wrapping days, and so you can branch out to other products once you get a client base, I guess. Is that part of it, is building a business? You have to have some kind of return on investment. In other words, you can't just wrap presents for 1 year. You have to get those people to want to come and have you wrap their presents every year, right?
Absolutely. So that's why we really value our customer service. So when you bring your presents, we'll grab them from your car for you. You'll come in, we'll price them for you, and then you can sit down, have some hot chocolate and cookies if you want to wait. And we also offer delivery.
Okay. Now, where is this business at?
It's at 833 Van Buren Street in Quincy. It's right across from QND's baseball field.
Okay. So you've got a little workshop set up there for your elves. People drop off their packages, put a little sticker on there. This is for mom, this is for grandma, this is for whoever.
Yeah.
And based on the size and the frivolity of the bow, I guess, you give them. And some people want, you know, just plain, and some people want real fancy.
Sure.
And I imagine there are an awful lot of men who are taking advantage of your service. Or am I wrong in that?
So we've actually, we started last Sunday, and we had all moms come in. Only moms, no dads, no guys at all, actually.
Okay, now, explain that to me, because to me that's counterintuitive, because girl, you know, stereotypically we think girls would be the rappers. I mean, my husband, forget it.
Sure.
So, you know, and I'm terrible, but I'm going to do it because I'm the only one left. So do you think the men didn't know about it? Was it a marketing? Or do you think really that I'm wrong, that guys can pretty much do their own thing, or they can coerce someone else to do it for them?
I think mostly in most families that I've talked to, the women do the wrapping. And we're all so busy during this holiday season, so the ladies want to get some stuff off their plates, and we'd be happy to take care of that for you guys.
Okay. So it truly is the ones who do the most wrapping need the most help.
Absolutely.
And if there's a guy out there who wants to keep something secret, it would be also another thing. So, folks, listen up, because we're going to give a free commercial for this business here right now. The CEO, Santa's Elves, they're at 833 Van Buren. When you pay for 9 wrap presents, you get a 10th one wrapped for free, cash or checks, drop-off or delivery. When you come up with a seasonal business, we'll get Trenton Murphy and Roger Lienertz back in here. Do you discourage seasonality of business? Because after all, that's going to limit your profit margin. I mean, it's kind of like having a, most people that do lawn care also do snow removal. Or do you just let them start here and then try to figure out a way to fill the gap when it's not Christmas? How does that work, Roger?
Well, part of the CEO program is that they're in the fall, they work on a class business as a group. In the spring, they have their individual businesses. So part of the process in CEO, as you would well know, Mary, sometimes it's nicer to work on your own, and then sometimes it's more fun to work in a big group. So they're finding out right now all the challenges to work in a group as a team business, which would be just a seasonal business, and those controversies that happen, different opinions of people in the group, who should we market to? That's all the struggles that they're going through right now.
Okay. Well, and the other thing is, although everybody who would sign up for this class, I would think, would want to be an entrepreneur, there are people who, and I would put myself in this category, I'm a much better employee than I ever would be a leader in a business setting. I mean, the real leader. I mean, I can lead a group, but that's just glorified committee work. So do you find out quickly, and I'll let you answer this, Lily Owenga, do you find out, do I really want to be the boss, or would I really be happier taking direction from someone?
I think, at least for me, I'm really passionate about leadership, and it's something I want to improve on. So that's why I took this class, really. And we have our management team. So there's 16 students. Everyone can't be a leader in this business. So we have our management team with 3 other people, including myself. And I think we've all grown in our roles. At first, it was a little bit of a rocky start, but we're really getting good at what we're doing now.
It's one thing to work for a company where the boss tells you what to do. I'm in that situation now. You know, Steve Bull tells me what to do. I do it. But when I worked for the Girl Scouts, it was very interesting because they're my employees, if you want to call them that, were my volunteers. And we had to have corporate goals. We were going to try to serve this many girls. We're going to try to have troops at this many school. Well, guess what? I couldn't order people around to go do that. I had to convince other adult women that this is what was good for their children. This is how they could help by make this happen and volunteer. It's being the boss. If you just force, or you know, if you're just trying to force people to do something, they'll show up and wrap gifts for a couple of shifts. You're not going to see them again. So, what are you learning about being the boss versus being bossy? Because I'm very bossy, but I'm not a very good boss.
Sure. So, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a lot of teamwork. Even though, you know, we are the management team, we're out there working with everyone else, too. We wrap all the gifts as well. And I think, really, leading is best by doing, you know, showing people how we want stuff done by doing it ourselves.
Okay. Well, we're out of time. Mm-hmm. If folks want to be involved next semester, is it a new group or is it next fall when you're taking in a new group, Trenton?
This will be next fall. So this is a year-long program, both semesters. If you have a junior in high school and you're interested, you need to certainly put the bug in their ear and you know, get a hold of their counselors or your folks at the school. We're going to be doing presentations right around the corner, coming probably February, March. Again, there is a Hannibal program. We're really excited to see that come to fruition. But again, here in Adams County, we've got all the Adams County schools in our program that we'd love your student, your child, your grandchild to be a part of. So get a hold of us on Facebook. That's where you can find all the details about Adams County CEO, including the class business, Santa's Elves. Just want to give a shout out to Lily and all the students for all the hard work they've done. It's certainly a fun and challenging experience. But thanks again to WTAD for having us on and being a huge supporter of the program.
Well,
thanks, Mary.
We love it. And how can we get in hold of you? Santa's Elves CEO at gmail.com. Santa's Elves CEO at gmail.com. I hope you wrap a lot of presents. Thank you so very much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you again to Lee McKenzie. She seems so normal. You can get her book on Amazon.com. And folks, you don't have to tell the whole world if you're struggling. You can just get the book. And learn a little bit about how other people have crawled out of the hole that you might be in, and there is help available. Trust me, it is out there. So Lee McKenzie, she seems so normal on Amazon.com. She also has a book signing tonight at the Crossing on Monroe Street. Tomorrow, it's Jack Freiberg and Chuck Schultz running down the election. We've had a couple of weeks to think about it. What's going to happen from henceforth? We'll all figure it out tomorrow, a special edition on Wednesday of Jack and Chuck.